You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Silas Sloan, he's right here, Carson Loden, we're Leather Rose, on closed on Sundays. This right here is Marijuana Rockstar, I hope y'all like it. Fuck out of my way. They call me white trash. They're wrong. I'm a trailer trash white ass. It's called Mississippi Mud Mansions. I wrote this song about everybody that come from Mississippi didn't have nothing when they was growing up and worked their tail off to get where they at now. It's just a song about hard work and being proud of where you come from. I hope y'all like it. Out here in Mississippi, just living in the dirt. People say there ain't much to do, but I'm neck deep in work. Boss man says it's about to be the end of been shoving because I'm headed down 99. Paycheck to paycheck can be real nice, but it ain't why I'm here. I just wanna grab you here and feel of your eyes. Seems that all anybody does is justified. So come on down, you can come inside if we collide. I'm gonna feel me a Mississippi mud mansion where the walls are built with South Country. This next song we're gonna sing y'all is called Tethered. I wrote this song about my dog. He was having some behavioral problems at the time. Vet was like, you know, it's induced psychosis or whatever. So we had to talk about putting him down a few times, and that's something that's hard to do, talking about putting your best friend down, especially somebody or it feels like a somebody. It's been through a lot with you, you know, a lot of shit. But I wrote this song for him in that situation. And after I got done writing the song, I realized it wasn't just really a song for my dog. I'd realized that I had felt this way with my shame a lot. Like I didn't want to ask God for forgiveness because I didn't think he could forgive me or he cared enough to forgive me. But I was wrong, you know. So it's just a song about shame. I hope y'all like it. It's called Tether. Tethered a mile, see how long I go before I now you go and pay me
Welcome you to this Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. We are at Al Spirits and Music in Reform, Alabama. Leather Rose just did their 3-song set for Closed on Sundays. Leather Rose, I'm gonna let y'all introduce yourselves, and I'll let you introduce yourself as well.
Y'all wanna start?
My name's Silas Sloan. I'm the lead singer.
I'm Carson Loden. I'm lead guitar player.
And my name is Richard Williams. I'm one of the managers of the band, trying to help promote these young guys and get them in front of as many people as we can.
Absolutely. I appreciate y'all coming and playing today. A big part of, and I don't know if I gave y'all the spiel, but a big part of Closed on Sunday is it's all about music exposure. Just through doing this Porch Talk podcast, and all the events that we've been able to do over the years, it's been a great way to get people in front of a new audience.
Thanks awesome. For having us.
Thanks yeah, for really having us down here, it. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, like, I'm always scared to death of anybody that has to follow Taylor Hollinsworth, but y'all did a fascinating job. Y'all killed it.
Appreciate it.
Well, guys, tell me a little bit about yourselves, like, where you're from and how you two met.
Well, I started this band probably a couple of years ago. I'd say a year ago, you know, things took off at a rough start. I got diagnosed last year with a disease called Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. and it kind of took a toll on me for a little bit. Stayed in the hospital, had a major surgery, come out, and I was ready to gig again. We had some members, you know, things happen, stuff falls through. I'm from Fulton, you know, it's not a real big music scene. And one time I had somebody call me, asked to do a birthday party. I didn't have a singer. I called Silas over here, and he said, yeah, man, I'm down. And from then, it just took off like a rocket.
It has. I'll tell y'all, the first time y'all were booked to come play at Munson and Brothers, one of our barkeeps, she is not a music person. Like, as far as I would understand it, like, church music.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was your voice or just the music itself, but it's high praise anytime, like, she praises the band because she doesn't.
Yeah.
She was like, I really like those guys. And that was a big part of, like, I mean, you know, the way that we do the booking there is, like, the first time somebody plays is, like, we look at the crowd reception to it. Was everybody real receptional? Is, like, does it run people off or not?
Right.
Yeah.
And y'all had the good effect to where it was, like, people hung around, people wanted to hear what you had to say and listen to the music.
Yeah, man.
And that's what it's all about.
It is. And everywhere they've been so far, it ain't heard nothing but good things. Everybody's asking them to come back.
Yeah, which is great problems to have.
Exactly.
Well, man, what about you? How did you get into music? How did the singing start for you?
Well, growing up, I always saw my dad do it. He was part of a band called Coldera at the time when I was growing up.
Okay.
So I was always on stage with him, headbanging and all that. And I got to the age where I was about 10, and I decided that I wanted to try to do it for real. So he got me a guitar and just started playing, man. I'm from Amory, and my family don't really come from much. I mean, just kind of from Mississippi, just one of them Mississippi boys, you know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of just nobodies, I guess you could say, from Mississippi.
That's what the song's about, right?
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, like, I don't know what's in the water in Amory, but it produces so many. I mean, like, if anybody watches American Idol, you know Amory, Mississippi. I mean,
exactly.
It's produced two winners, and wasn't Colin from the area? He didn't win, but
he's from the area. Yeah,
but I told Colin, like, he was coming to the open mic when he was getting primed up and ready to go out to California and do the whole American Idol thing, and I wasn't trying to jinx him or nothing. I said, I always thought it was better to not win.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you get it, like, to the finals.
You got to follow their guidelines.
Yeah. But if you don't win, look at you got exposed to the entire country. Right. And you're gonna get some kind of a deal.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody's going to reach out because they've had so many second place or third place or fourth place that was as good or better than the ones that would win. And I think they have some kind of they have to sign a contract that
you
belong to American Idol for a year.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah. Like, everybody tries to get us to go. They've said that to me since I started playing. But
we like to be independent, you know, for the most part.
I think that's the way and I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts on it, man. You just got I wanted to talk a little bit about the record store and get the word out on that as well. But, I mean, you probably know it just as well as I do. Whether it's small business or if it's trying to be an indie band. And there's a huge misconception, like, independent has even become, like, a music genre. Like, but when you say independent, like, what I think and what I know it to be is they do it all on their own.
Yep.
They don't have any help. There's not this record label behind them that's hooking up all these tour dates, that's helping them promote, get their music out. Everything that you do, you completely do it on your own. That's the social media. And, I mean, even Spotify I consider to be a social media now.
Yeah, it is now because they've spread out more, especially with they're starting to sell and everything. So, yeah, they're getting more in the social.
And I'm, you know, just with that, like, I've been in bands in the past, and I mean, it runs itself just like a business. Like, I've always been the accountant for the band. Like, I'm the bass player and the accountant. And like, we have a band fund, and there's a lot of shows. Like, none of us get paid, and all the money just goes to the band, and that's going to pay for the hotel. That's going to pay for the next line of T-shirts. That's whatever. And just having that stuff roll over and, like, how do we take it to the next level? Because, like, when you're getting booked and you're getting to play the state or maybe even the Twin State, you're starting to get in Alabama, maybe Tennessee, maybe Florida, things are picking up steam. But that's when it starts getting expensive on you.
Oh, yeah.
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 But it takes stuff like that. And when people, like, start finding you, like, next thing you know, it's like, well, maybe you don't have to have a hotel room anymore because, you ran into somebody at a show that has a guest house or a pool house or
that's like the last weekend we went down to Meridian to a little Dutch Hideaway.
Yeah, that's a very cool joint.
Very cool joint. We had no idea. We thought, oh dear Lord, we got chickens and ducks walking around out here. But man, that was a great show and a great crowd. They was all so much into the band and everything, and it's like what you said.
Yeah, and it's like places like that, I think people sleep on them. Like even even hearing the name of it, you're kind of like, I don't know about this.
Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. Mike said that there was somebody offering to pay money for them to keep playing after they quit.
It's $200 too.
I said something to Mary Jo, the bartender lady.
Yeah.
Me and her was chatting about it. She said, well, y'all could have come back in and kept on playing. Said, well, we got a camper out there we'd have put y'all up in, or we'd have took y'all to our house and put you up.
Yeah.
Might have to take that offer next time.
That's what I told her. We'll be back. We might have to take up on that.
Well, something that I saw that y'all have going in the works is y'all have an album release party coming up soon.
Next Friday. Yes, sir.
So where will that be? What town and what venue?
It'd be at the Lucky Tap, Amory, Mississippi. That's kind of where we both started doing music at. And ever since then, we had one really good show there after we started what is Leather Rose now. And they came up and they was like, you know, y'all did really good for us tonight. We'd like to get y'all back. We booked another show right there. And since then, man, that's just kind of been home for us. They've always had our bags and we've always got theirs, you know. So that's, for our hometown, whenever I think, man, Amory supports us, I think about that bar and I think about the bros across the street. It's just a really, just a tight-knit community.
Yeah, those are two great places for anybody that's solo artist or not that wants to get in somewhere and play and have a good crowd. Either one of those places, and Amory's a good place.
I don't think the individual people for sure, like Wade from the Lucky Tap and Joe from the Bros, you know, they really see our future ahead and they look up to us as something we can do, you know, one day. That's just a good feeling to have, knowing somebody like them can inspire us.
Yeah, for a long time I didn't really think things were going to work out. So by the time that I got with him, I was getting ready to get out of it, even though I hadn't really had much experience at the time, but things just wasn't picking up for me to get experience. And I got with
them.
That's
what it's all about, too.
Yeah. I finally got with them, and people started saying things like, man, y'all sound like y'all might go somewhere, and I guess that's just how it starts. I mean, I believe in us 100%, and it just feels good to know that such, I guess you could say, key community members to where we call home also believe in us like that, so it's just a good feeling.
Absolutely. Well, man, tell me a little bit about the origin and the formation of Leather Rose. You said that you founded the band.
Right. We started as a, I want to say a six-piece. We had the idea to be the next Skinner. Three guitar players, bass player, drummer, vocals. And our first singer, I still love him to this day. I'm not going to mention names, but his mama got real bad sick, and it hurt all at one, you know what I mean? And I was never a lead guitar player. I started as a rhythm player, and when I kind of lost my lead guitar player, I knew right then I had to take on a pretty vital role in the band. And guy I go to school with, one of the teachers actually, he showed me some licks around. He showed me some scales. He said, learn these and do your best. And I said, all right. So I started right then learning those scales, and ever since I've got to the point where I know where every note is on that fretboard. And it's helped a lot, especially him giving me that direction to where to go. And it's been great ever since, which we ended up with another singer, and he had different ideas too, but I don't know. It's felt more at home ever since we got Silas and Blake on bass. It's just felt like it was meant to be, you know what I mean?
At the time, me and my brother Blake, we were kind of doing something else with the band at the time. We were doing something called Empty Smiles, which was a little bit on the heavier side, so whenever I got with him, I was still trying to do the whole Empty Smiles thing with Leather Rose. And the bassist that was for Leather Rose at the time started having some issues with getting to practice and showing up to shows. So we just kind of quit doing what we were doing with Empty Smiles, and Blake came on with me, and it just kind of
It felt like a puzzle piece.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes sometimes.
A lot of bands, especially when they're getting early started, you have a, takes you a little bit. These members might start off, and then you kind of, after you play a little bit, you figure out where this piece falls out with another piece falls in.
Yeah. So one of my favorite bands right now out of Mississippi, they're out of Hattiesburg. It's Grits and Green. When their first formation, like the core of the band is, they're a married couple. It's Ryan and her husband, and but they've always kind of had issues when it came to bass or drums.
Yeah,
and that kind of part would always kind of fall off. It would, whether it was, you know, practice or shows.
Yeah,
and but like the lineup that they've been running for the past, I think, 2 or 3 years, they finally found like. And that's another thing is, like, I think when you first form a band, like, you know, your sky's the limit. We're going to do anything to make it work. And then after you start doing it a little while, you're like, he's not as committed as I thought he was going to be. This is not going to work. He doesn't want it as bad as we do.
That's what I encountered. And it's sad, but business is business, you know.
I think that just goes along with starting a band. You're going to go, any band's going to just about go through that.
And it's always interesting, like, God, you want it to happen early, because, like, if bass player or drums, I mean, everybody kind of adds their own flair, and if you have to replace them, it's
changes
it changes the entire sound of the band.
It does.
So, man, just to describe a little bit of the tone with the full piece, I would say y'all are very, like, Southern rock. I think it would be kind of keen to... I would definitely say like a Skynyrd influence, but probably more closer to like maybe a Whiskey Myers, because it kind of feels like it has a country flair.
Yeah, we've had that a lot said, and I see it, because I'm always been a big huge fan of John Jeffers from Whiskey Myers, you know, black Les Pauls.
Yeah,
that's what I play, and I don't know. I've always studied him and the way he played and all that, and. It's just, I can see where people get that idea, you know.
Whenever people ask me what we're going for, I always tell them, I say, we want it to be like if Alice in Chains and Skynyrd had a baby. So it's definitely Southern rock.
But a heavier twist.
We're going to change the name to Skin Alice.
Like the way that Alice in Chains.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Was for the grunge community, what they brought to the table and how their sound was just a little bit darker than everybody else's.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we want to be for Southern rock, you know what I mean? Something that nobody's doing yet, or if they have, something that is not being noticed yet,
right.
You know what I mean? So hopefully we can, like the Texas Red Dirt country, like
I love Cross Canadian Ragweed those guys.
I told Carson, I said, man, we ain't gonna be no damn like Texas Red Dirt. We're gonna have to start our own shit. It's gonna be called damn
Mississippi mud.
Yeah. The damn mud genre.
But I mean, and y'all kind of have that, because you mentioned like after the set, you know, I was joking around. I was like, well, that first song really made me want a cigarette, and he's like, I wrote it, and. I don't even do any of those things.
Right.
And but that's cool, because, you know, with Alice in Chains, Lane didn't do any of the writing. And even the guy that replaced Lane, that sounds identical to him, it was always Jerry Cantrell.
Yeah.
And, like, you always heard Jerry, like, singing harmony in the back, but when it came to the music and just the core, like, you know, you typically think about Lane Staley as being the front, but Jerry was the heart of the band.
Right. He was.
And that was always you know, they were very late to the grunge genre. They started doing grunge when, like, grunge was going away.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they were from that area. They weren't from Seattle.
Mm-mm. Where was they from?
I want to say they were
from California.
Yeah.
Somewhere in California.
Yeah, they were West Coast, but they weren't from, like, that Washington area.
Yeah, that
area.
Northwest
corner. That's usually where they're all from, you know, if you look back.
And what's crazy is we have, a lot of people would say this, but a guy out of Columbus, Mississippi, a guy by the name of Andrew Wood, no longer with us. He was Chris Cornell's roommate out in Seattle. Y'all remember the song Say Hello to Heaven?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
That was written in honor to Andrew Wood after he passed.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, he's wrote two songs about Andrew Wood. Oh. All those... When people think about grunge, they often, like, don't remember Mudhoney.
I know Mudhoney.
They were pre Stone Temple Pilot or Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, all those guys. And they don't get any credit, but that was Andrew Wood's band. I would say he was the founder of grunge music, and he was from Mississippi.
Hell yeah.
I remember when
That's
he
crazy,
died.
Yeah.
And it's crazy, like, just out of that genre, there's not that many of them left.
No.
Pearl Jam, pretty much.
Yeah, that's about it.
Which, you know, Alice in Chains is still around, but Lane's not there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was so many, in that grunge, there were so many great ones that had such a huge future ahead of them that...
It got clipped by...
Untimely death, yeah, just got clipped by that rock and roll lifestyle. And,
well, you gotta think, man. Like, the way that people say they wouldn't have been that big had they not died, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Like, I know, was it Brian Jones of the Beach Boys? He just passed away?
Yeah.
And it's crazy to me, like, whether it's the Beach Boys or the Beatles, like, and it's usually, this kind of talk usually comes from musicians, and it pisses me off. It's like, just haters. Like,
yeah.
They're not good. Their music is not good. Like, their songs are for kids. Like, whatever. I was like, the Beach Boys wrote a song that had 16 key changes in it. I was like, don't tell me they're not good songwriters.
Right. Exactly.
I was like, that's insane. You're just being a hater. And I was like, I think about, like, the Beach Boys and the Beatles. They did just as much or more for music than the blues of Mississippi did.
Oh yeah.
And so I mean, you really never know, like, what kind of impact that you can have.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about so the album release party is coming. How did y'all record the record?
I got with a guy. We had a guy Richard had set up, and
it kind of fell through. He had some family stuff going on, and he ended up wasn't going to be able to hold his end of the commitment. So that's when Carson found David and William.
David Duncan and William Coates. You know, it took us 2 days. The first day was pretty green to us, you know. I had been in the studio one time before we went in. I think we walked out that day with, what, how many songs? One? The first one.
Yeah, we barely got one. That was like all of us' first time walking in a nice, decent studio. So it was very eye-opening and a very learning experience for them. But then... That's like the first time we spent so much time on that one song. We was there like all day.
8 hours.
But they learned, David was great for working with them and telling them, okay, this is what we need to work on. We need to, you know, he helped them with their arrangements and stuff, get those straightened out. And they went back for their second session and nailed the rest of the songs in one session.
Great.
So,
It's always a little different when that red light comes on, isn't it?
Yeah. When you hear that,
man, kid,
in that ear.
That used to drive me crazy, man. I used to take lessons when I was a teenager from a guy in Columbus, Dennis McKay. And, like, when I first started with him, it was his place, but you would come in there and you would just do a lesson. And it seemed like it happened overnight because the next time I came in, it was like a full-blown studio.
Yeah.
And he was like, you've been with me longer than anybody else. And he was like, not bragging on you, it's just probably because of the time you put in.
Right.
He was like, you're the most advanced guy here. I wanted to test the studio out on you because we don't have anybody else to come through. Dude, that metronome and click track, man, it used to drive me crazy.
Yeah, they take a while to get used to, I will say.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but it's necessary.
Yeah.
It is. Our next thing you know, like, you'll put out something and it's not in time. And you swear it is, but it's not.
Yeah. And that's one thing David helped point out to them a lot was where they had some timing issues and stuff. So they've really covered that real well.
It's a lot different live than it is in the studio. Mm-hmm. You can get away with a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Well, guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about the future after the album release party. Like, where are some, and I don't know how long the calendar's booked out to, but where are some places that people will be able to catch you live?
One's going to be Rattlesnake Saloon. I'm not sure exactly what date, but
that's
it'll
in
be.
October.
It's not.
24th, ain't it?
Right,
I think
now.
Something like that. Yeah.
Now, that's the Cave over North Alabama?
Yep.
Tuscumbia.
That place rules.
Oh, it does.
And I tell you what's cool about that place, man. I went with a friend of mine's band. I don't know if y'all have ever been, but they wheel in. Like, you get a brand new audience, like, every 30, 45 minutes.
Oh, man.
Really?
Because, like, they're constantly, like, you park up on top of the hill, and they shuttle people down, like, in vans. And, like, they shuttle people out on vans. So, like, you'll have a group of, like, 15, 20 people, like, coming in every 30 minutes. Fresh ears.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah. Awesome.
And make sure you go inside. I don't know if y'all ever saw the movie Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
But, like, they got a fame wall in there, like, of all the famous people who's come through.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's like Harold from Harold and Kumar. It's, like, it's some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But Rattlesnake Saloon rules, man. That's awesome. And but it's crazy, you know, it's... Which it makes sense because you really can't get down there during the winter, especially if it ices over. But I wish that place was open year round.
Yeah.
It's good food, too.
Yeah.
I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah. That's going to be real cool.
Yeah. Another opportunity that has come up, and nothing is for sure yet, but it's just cool to be able to say that we're being considered for it. Have you ever heard of a guy named, I think it's pronounced Tanner Esray?
Yes.
September 6th, Rick's got in contact with us and said that they're interested in us opening up for him, so
that's good.
It should be. If we get that, that'd be good for our EP. Yeah, to get some more people listening to us.
And I'll tell y'all, there's three venues, like, kind of in this area. There's one down in Mobile. It's called Callahan's. The other one is Blue Canoe in Tupelo.
We're booked there
next weekend.
And then the other one is Rick's Cafe in Starville.
Yeah.
When it comes to those three places, like, that's when I start taking people seriously. If I see them play at that place, I was like, they on their way.
Yeah.
And so, like, being able to open up for Tanner, like,
yeah, that's a game changer.
That's huge. Because, like, typically, and if I was to call Rick's and be like, hey, my band wants to come play, what they would do is, like, they would charge me $500
to book it,
and then I could sell tickets. And so, in other words, I'm not going to sell $500 in tickets.
Yeah.
That I'm paying for my name on a marquee.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm about to lose money.
Yeah.
But, like, to be able to be invited is, that's a big deal.
Yeah, they played Rick's a few months ago, and they really loved it. They played the small stage, and he told them at the end.
Well, their sound is perfect for it, you know.
I want y'all back in here, but I want y'all on the big stage opening for somebody. So he's been, this is the second spot he's found them. They had to turn the other one down because they had another commitment. So,
and I mean,
that's real good.
Just not even just it being Rick's, it's the fact of all the people that are coming through there.
Like, I mean, you just had Tanner Zach Top.
Yeah, like all those people, Gavin Adcock, Tanner Esray, Brian Martin.
Ray Clay Strange.
Those are all people that we would share a crowd with. If they was listening to our music, it would be those people that are listening to those bands. You know what I mean? So to be able to say that, well, I guess maybe one day if Gavin Adcock comes through here and plays Rick's again, we might be able to say, hey, we want to open for him. Same for Rick Lestrade's or 49 Winchester. Like, that's cool to be able to say, like, you can toss your hat in the bucket like that. You know what I mean? So it's an honor, man. It really is.
First time me and my wife went and saw Blackberry Smoke was at Rick's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
If
I bet that was a hell of a show.
Y'all might know about it, but if you ever get a chance, like, just during the day and you're in Starkville, drive around to the backside of Rick's, and they got a wall of fame back there. Like Snoop Dogg has signed the wall.
Really?
Yeah.
Got one inside too. Like
yeah, there is. Yeah.
All the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's you never really know who, you know.
There's been a lot of folks come through. Well, that's like back in the day when the zoo and stuff was in Tupelo. Warrant and Joan Jett and Def Leppard, they all come through there when they were young and nobody knew who they were.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite guys, he played, and this was like in a park in Tupelo. This was probably 6 years ago. But do y'all know Nathaniel Ratliff? It's got Nathaniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats now. He's got a band.
I've heard it.
But yeah. This was right in between. His hit song is Son of a Bitch. But right before that record and that song came out, he was about to quit. He was like, I've done everything that I could think to do. Like, we've social media, algorithm, I don't know of anything else to do. We're not good enough. We're not it. He played a free show in a random park in Tupelo 6 years ago and was like playing all the hits that they have now.
Yeah.
And it was like before they were recorded, and I was like, I would have given anything to be there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just cool stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask probably three more questions. I want to talk a little bit about the record store, too, but three more questions for y'all, just for those listening. Is there a social media that y'all are most active on that kind of, like, people can keep up with y'all and what y'all are up to?
Facebook, definitely.
Facebook?
Yeah, it's just, Facebook. You can look us up. Leather Rose. It's
Leather Rose Music.
Or anything like
look
that.
Up Leather just, Rose Music. That's what the page is under. So.
And I think I'm subscribed to y'all on YouTube, but y'all do have a few.
We put up a pretty good bit on YouTube, too. We've actually got some of our live performances up there right now. I mean, not many views, you know, but.
It is what it is.
It's got if people like it and want to listen to it, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
We need to tie that with the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Question two, and we kind of touched on it right there with like people y'all, you know, could open for or even share the stage, share an audience with, just in the future. Is there a venue, like, once you've played that stage, you kind of get that, we've done it now, we've made it. Is there a venue that comes to mind?
Man, probably Red Rocks, to be honest. If we ever get the chance to say it. Yeah, if we ever get
that's such a cool venue.
Yeah.
I love that part of the country anyways.
I've never been there.
Beautiful.
I ain't never been out there.
I flew out last summer on a mission trip with some guys from school. It was beautiful country out there. I'd love to go back. I got asked to go this year, but priorities come first, you know. Gigging, that's what happens.
There you go. Maybe it'll lead you out there.
Yeah,
maybe so.
Yeah, which Grits and Greens, I think y'all should probably connect with those guys. But right before they moved back to Mississippi, back to Hattiesburg, they were in Colorado.
Yeah.
And so they were connected out there in Colorado for like, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And they, you know, whether it was Colorado Springs, just all the towns in that area.
Yeah.
They were playing it and they made a lot of friends and like they're able to connect that to a tour and so they can string shows just to get them out there.
Right.
And then they'll spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks out in Colorado.
Yeah.
And then they'll get shows to get them back home. But I think that would probably be like connecting with those guys. They might could help y'all get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
That'd be. Yeah, we'd appreciate that opportunity for sure.
Okay, so, question two for you guys is, we talked a little bit about the socials, the venue, so question three is, let's see, well, we kind of took cover of the travel too. Last question. Well, something we didn't cover. Let me backstep here is like when it comes to sounds and influences, and you may not know, but are y'all gonna like record some harder stuff? Because I can definitely tell like y'all can go pretty hard.
We plan to on our album. What we have coming out right now is just a 5-song EP, and throughout the year while we're trying to get our album recorded, we're going to drop 2 singles just to let people know, you know, we're still out there. You know, we don't want to just drop the EP and then fall off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But with the album, we want to capture all of our sound. because we're really out there when it comes to terms of what we're playing. We never really know what to say. Like, we've got two songs, Shallow Grave and Righteous Man, that aren't on the EP because we couldn't put them on there. We just didn't have room. And those songs are heavier sound.
Oh, yeah.
Like, whenever I was doing Empty Smiles, I was getting raunchy and, like, screaming and stuff. So in the future, it's not, I guess, impossible to say that might happen on the album. Because we definitely, musically, I know for sure we'll have heavier stuff, but I'm not sure how quite heavy yet.
That's one thing, like, about Mississippi that it kind of blows my mind. But, like, do y'all know the most popular genre of music in the state of Mississippi?
I don't.
Metal.
I can believe it.
And it makes so much sense, because, like, any town in Mississippi, you're gonna hear metal coming from somebody's
somewhere.
Truck.
Yeah,
it's coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like when you talk to musicians, like, I think every Mississippi music person is, they got some metal on the playlist.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
And it's not really talked about much. Like, it's just one of those things that people are just like, oh, okay, cool. I didn't really figure that, but whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, just being Mississippi, you know, I was like, well, the blues, of course, or, yeah, you know, you might, well, country music. No, it's not.
Yeah, I can believe it, man, 100%.
But I think those fusions, like, I think that's why that, do y'all remember that Half and Half Hardy record that he did?
Yeah.
Like, what was it called? The Crow? And anyway, it was half country, half metal.
Yeah.
That was
I
a
really
great,
enjoyed that
it was a great idea, and it worked.
Yeah, it did. He did that, I think, better than anybody has so far. Mm-hmm. It was really good. The only reason that I think, well, not, what we would have done different was less of the, like, we're not very poppy. We don't really have any pop influence at all. It's just kind of just muddy, you know what I mean?
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to turn it over to you just for a second.
Okay.
Just to plug the record store, where it's located, and, like,
where my store is.
What kind of music you got in there?
Metal.
Rock. Right, there we go.
Metal rock. I got some great punk selection for some folks. That's some that's come in. Is that's what they've asked me they were looking for. But, yeah, everybody's come in is looking for metal or Sleep Token or somebody like that. So they're all excited. It's just been a little slow getting the word out. So, but it's going. It's getting there. We've been open about 2 months. Of course, I'm a huge sponsor of these guys here, so when the CD gets released, I'll have some physical copies in the store of the CD.
And what's the name of it?
Where's Iron Track Records.
Iron Track Records.
And we're located in Amory, Mississippi. We're at 401 North Main Street, Suite C. My door is actually on the side, so you actually need to take a right or left right there, and it's the second door on the side of the building. I got my logos in my window. I'm there Tuesday through Saturdays, 11 to 6, unless I have a commitment where I need to close early. I need to go out of town to cover a show or something like that.
Right on. Man, and I love that. Like, Columbus just got them a record store a couple months ago. There's Chef's Vinyl in Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the resurgence of vinyl is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely not anything that's like an 8-track or a tape, which,
right.
I mean, I know bands that still put out cassette tapes.
Yeah, and the cassettes have been coming back. There's a lot of new releases they do in cassette versions of it.
Well, and a lot of that, like, it's in the way they record it. Y'all seen those tape deck recordings? It's a very interesting way to do it, and that's why they put those cassettes out. Like, you're getting the raw deal.
Man, was, I think that's like the golden age of musicians, that for that reason, because you're sitting there and you better do it in one take, otherwise you're starting it over. You know what I mean? You got to redo everything.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And I had a guy come in the other day, and I got a few VHS tapes, and he told me that, he said, you need to keep an eye on them. He said, there's a lot of people that are starting to know that you have the graded comic books or the graded, but he said, there's people starting to look for old VHS tape that are still sealed with the cellophane, and they're starting to send them off and get them graded.
Wow.
And get some high dollars. But he told me too, he said, VCR players, He said, try to find one.
Yeah, they
hard to find about. One for under 80 bucks. And I was like, man, you got to be kidding. People can't even sell DVDs to a pawn shop, and these VHS chess players are going that high. And I got to looking, and yeah, he wasn't kidding.
It's all coming back.
Yeah.
I had a buddy of mine, man, this has probably been like, probably in 2019. He called this like 6 years ago, and he might have not have been the guy called it, but it was the first person I heard say it.
Right.
Was, he's got a room in this house that I had never seen, and he said, I want to show you something. And I'm talking about from the floor to the ceiling, the entire wall was nothing but DVDs.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, every season of my favorite shows, movies I ain't never seen, I have the physical copy. He said, I believe this, when everything goes digital, whether it's on Netflix or these streaming services, and you can no longer go to a Walmart or wherever to buy you a physical copy, yeah. He's like, you don't know what you're watching. And they'll control when you get to see it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think people are beginning to feel that way when it comes to music. I've seen a lot of a resurgence, like when it comes to vinyl or tape decks or whatever else. That's coming back. And also, I'm seeing bands begin to refuse to put their music on streamers.
Yeah, yeah, I've been seeing that too.
Like, they're doing physical only.
Yeah, and I think of another trend that's getting started, Ghost is actually doing it on their tour, is when you go in, your cell phone goes in a locked bag.
Yeah.
And you don't get it back till after the show's over.
Jack White's done that forever. I went and saw him at a music festival, and I had never heard of this, because, like, usually, you know, you get through the gate, it's free range.
Right.
But, like, and Jack White, by the way, he's got the wall of sound, so you could hear him a mile away. But when you walked up to approach it, they had those bags, and it's like Jack White does not allow any recording.
Yeah.
It's like, what you were here for a show, enjoy the show.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, and their way they see that, it makes perfect sense. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you pay, especially the people in the front, you pay several hundred dollars for that seat, and you're going to sit there the whole show with your phone in front of your face between you and them. I mean,
it's one of the reasons I deleted Snapchat, one of those little social apps.
Yeah.
I had so many friends, they would go to these concerts, and like I would get on Snapchat, and I would literally be able to watch the entire concert on a crappy Snapchat video.
Yeah.
Yep. The audio was shit, and the video didn't look good. And I would write them. I was like, did it ever come to your mind to put that phone in your pocket and, like, just enjoy the experience?
Yeah.
Yep.
Drives me crazy. But comedians do that, which it makes sense. Like, but I think musicians. Oh, I think
be at a comedian show and they get started on somebody about a cell phone. That'd be.
But but you know they don't allow phones. But their reasoning for that is like, you know, if they're working their way up to a 1 hour special, if I was to record a minute of their set, well, you're ruining it for everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you're getting their material. You're sharing their material with other people, and
they do. I mean, they take their material, I think, a lot more seriously than musicians do. But I think, like, it's wild. Like, if I was to do your joke, you know, that's not cool. But if I was to cover your song, that is cool.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the difference in the arts.
Yeah, it is.
Absolutely,
man. Richard, do you want to mention something about that raffle for the guitar we're gonna be giving away?
Yeah. We brought up the EP release party that'll be this coming Friday night, the 20th, at the Lucky Tap in Amory. And we're going to have a raffle. We have a custom-built Telecaster that I built myself. The guy, Carson's going to play it a couple of songs. All the guys are going to sign it. And
very cool.
We're going to do some. I'm going to do three $50 gift certificates to my store. I'm going to go around and talk to a couple of other places to see if we can come up with a few more prizes. But we're going to be selling tickets, $5 each. And all the money goes to the band fund to help support these guys and cover some of their expenses.
Well, right on. I'll probably give to that. I don't care anything about the raffle, but just to give to it. It's just anything that I can do, like when it comes to music or the arts, if I can help.
That's me. I want to do what I can for these guys. Like you mentioned earlier, you was IT over at where you work. That's what I've done for about 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working over in Hamilton, Alabama at a plant. And end of January, they decided they didn't need IT department no more.
Oh, wow.
So they did away with my job. So that kind of led to the record store and get more involved with these guys and everything. So we on the ride.
There you go.
We plan on seeing it to the end.
Yeah.
We're right.
That's
on
the plan.
Well, anything else to add or subtract before we sign off here?
Just thank you for having us again.
Yeah, man. Really, man, appreciate
thank y'all
it.
Thank y'all for coming and playing. Like, I think this is the third time I've seen y'all live, and it gets better and better each time.
Thank
and
you,
I
really appreciate
I haven't that. Caught the whole band yet. I've only caught y'all two, like the duo.
It's a whole lot different, man, but it's
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, well, if you're not doing nothing next Friday night, right over to Amory.
I'll probably be right here working. But if I am free, I definitely want to come by and check that out. Well, thank y'all so much.
Yeah,
thank you.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.